day, our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting and
confiding in His great love,
yes, in His great love.
Welcome and express appreciation for your being here. I say that so often, but I do say it sincerely. It's just good to get together and appreciate your desire to be with us today. Very, very much assembly time for to give worship and praise to God as a congregation. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning for those who'd like to follow along. Very welcome to do that. The title of the lesson are warnings concerning faith that are found in the book of 1 Timothy. And there are five warnings that Paul gives to Timothy concerning faith. I remember years ago, and you, some of you may remember the same thing, but usually when we'd say goodbye to someone, we'd shout out, "Keep the faith." It seemed to be a very common phrase. It was the idea of the next an exhortation, hang in there. Except we say, keep the faith. It might mean to walk the talk. Or stay on God's side. All those meanings, just by saying, keep the faith, brother. But we know that just as surely as one may be converted from sin to Christ, just as surely that same one may regress and go back to worldly ways. Paul says in the text that was read to us that faith is something that we need to hold on to. And so Paul gives Timothy a warning, saying that he who once believed may turn back to unbelief. He says, Timothy, don't let that happen. And he says it in five different ways. So there must be some importance concerning holding faith or keeping our faith. This looks at those warnings that Paul gives. These situations are not applauded that Paul mentions. Paul is not giving someone an attaboy when faith has been destroyed in one manner or another. Paul is not, it's not okay to leave faith in Paul's warnings here. Paul told it concerned himself in the next letter in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. He mentions, the time of my departure is at hand. And one phrase that he uses is, I've kept the faith. Faith is something that when you and I have it, it needs to be held. Hold on to it. Do not let these things that we're going to mention this morning happen to your faith. So here are the warnings that Paul gives. Number one, it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 18. Paul says, this charge, in one translation says command. So Paul says, Timothy, I charge or command you, according to the prophecies which led the way to you, that by them, meaning the prophecies or God's word, by them, you may war the good warfare, holding faith. Hold on to it. And a good conscience. And then he says, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul says, Timothy, there's some people that are opposite of you. You've warred the good warfare. You're hanging on to your faith, but some put their faith away. And he said, describes it as you have shipwrecked your faith. Not good. Two are mentioned by name, by the way, in verse 20. I didn't put that in your notes, but just kept reading the verses. He calls them by name. Hymenaeus and Alexander. It says they put away their faith. In other words, they stopped their study of God's Word. Don't let this describe you. Your faith has been put away if your faith is not put in practice. Your faith is put away if you've left those things that characterize faith. It's put away if you're not holding faith, but you put your faith on hold. That's not a good thing. If you're not fighting the fight, your faith has been put away. Paul also says in this same text, I didn't put this in your notes, but it's the next verse. It says, these two that he mentioned by name, they blaspheme. They put away their faith. By definition, it means they have begun to rail against God when you blaspheme. Or you speak with contempt of those things that are sacred. It means you speak evil of faith. Or you have defamed your faith that you once held. It means you blaspheme. And then by the conclusion that I put in your notes, when these things happen, when you blaspheme or defame your faith, or you put it away, cast it aside, you made your faith shipwreck. When a ship is wrecked, it's destroyed. You get a picture of a ship on the rocks. Imagine that in your mind. The loss of a ship. That ship is now ruined. That ship is in disaster. It's crashed. It's no longer in service. It's a tragedy. That is not supposed to happen to a ship. And Paul says, when you put away your faith, you have crashed your faith. You have shipwrecked it. Not a recommendation. Over the years, this congregation has experienced folks that have done this. People who were once zealous are now indifferent. Shipwrecked faith. We've known people in this congregation who were once faithful that are now unfaithful. Those we know that at one time were working for the right and now they are serving wrong. They've crashed their faith. They've ignored the exhortations from family and friends and brethren. They've ignored the pleading and the prayers. You go to them and they may even say, oh, Brian, I haven't left. Brian, I still have faith. And I say to them, well, if you did crash your faith, what would you do differently than what you're doing right now? It looks to me like you've crashed your faith. You're not in attendance. You're not involved in Bible reading or ministry of the congregation. From my perspective and from all biblical definition, your faith is crashed. Paul warns Timothy about that. That's not a recommendation. That's not a good thing to happen to your faith. To put it on hold. Paul warns about that. That can happen to faith. Number two. Paul says, some shall depart from the faith. That was in the text that was read to us this morning. Spirit speaks expressly. This is God's Spirit talking. He knows what's going to happen. This will take place. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed, he describes it. What does that look like? They will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They've departed from the faith so much and in such a way that it makes it tough to reach them. They've seared their conscience over. See, I put in your notes, there are doctrines that will take us away from faith. They've given heed to doctrines of devils. Jesus warned about it in Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets. I mean, a prophet can be false. Jesus said it. false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, look good, sound good, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Jesus also said in Matthew 15, verse 3, why do you transgress the commandment of your God by your traditions? The things that you do religiously, God may not want, and he says you have, Jesus' words, you have transgressed, disobeyed, crossed the line of God's word by your tradition. Verse 6, you've made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Verse 9, but in vain, Jesus said, in vain do you worship me because you're teaching for doctrine a commandment of a man. You've made your worship none effect. Paul warned the same thing, that we can depart from the faith. In Acts 20 and verse 29, he called the elders together, the leaders of the church. He said, for this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Grievous wolves enter in among us? Yeah. Not sparing the flock. He said, also of among your own selves shall men arise and speak perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. They said, come follow me. And they departed from the faith. The Apostle John warned in 1 John 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. Just because someone says something religiously doesn't make it right. It's not okay. There will be prophets who are false, to draw away disciples. Paul says, Timothy, beware. Number 3, faith may be denied. 1 Timothy 5, I'll begin reading at verse 7. Paul says, these things also command, that they, meaning us, may be without reproach. But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith. Ooh. And he's worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. We don't take care of our own. The denial of faith is portrayed by failing to live up to our Christian obligation toward one another, toward family. I looked at it in two ways. Spiritually, I think our faith is denied when we fail to teach our family about God. If I haven't provided you or my family godly instruction, I've denied the faith, in a sense. But second, I need to provide, and this is the context, provide for my family physically. We need to take care of family needs. Your parents provide for children. One day that situation may be reversed. And children have to take care of parents. Many of us have already experienced that. I know when I was youngster, just a few years ago, I know. But I know when I was young, really young, but my oldest brother, my parents had to take care of him. He lived at home with my mom and dad until his death at the age of 33. He was born with hydrocephalus, and he had a moderate development delay. But my parents took care of him. I remember as a youngster, my grandfather suffered a stroke and lived with us several years until his death. I know Christine's parents, they moved in with us, but they could still provide for themselves in many ways until her dad's passing. And then we provided for Wilma, my mother-in-law, for 3 years. She couldn't provide for herself. I recall one of my favorite stories, think about this verse, is Dennis and Susan taking care of Susan's mom, Leela. I remember that. And they took care of her such a way that they moved her bedroom into the living room. Could have made the living room a bedroom so she could look out the window and see all the people passing by and the people that would come and go in the house. Made it very convenient. Felt like one of the families went way back there. And so one time I
was mentioned that I asked Christine if she would do that for me in my when I get old and feeble. And she said, sure, if Dennis and Susan will have you. Put me in their living room. She said, I'll come visit you too. But faith can be denied if we fail to take care of one another. Number four, you can err from the faith. Erred from the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 7, Paul said, we brought nothing into this world. Brought nothing as a baby. Brought nothing in. Certainly carrying nothing out. Can't do that. And so having food and raiment, lest therewith be content. But they that be rich fall into the temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown the men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while which some covet after have erred or wandered away from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We can err from the faith by making our treasure our priority. Because to avoid that, Paul gives the explanation right in the text. He continues in verses 17 and 18. Paul says, charge them that, have treasure, and all of us do. Charge them that are rich, he says, rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. So this is how to avoid erring from the faith. Charge they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly in all things to enjoy. You need to enjoy what you have. Enjoy that treasure. God has given us talent, ability, opportunity. Enjoy what you have. It's in the text. Enjoy it. And then he says, and then do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The message that Paul gives is, don't allow treasure to push God out of your lives. His message is, don't drown in destruction and perdition by hoarding the treasure that God has blessed you with the ability to receive. Paul's message to Timothy is, God has given us that talent, given us that opportunity, enjoy it, but also do good, be rich in good works, and distribute. And I put in your notes, Jesus gives a similar admonition on priority. In Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus just said, take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. Our life is more than our treasure. And so then he says in verse 21, so is he, meaning this foolish one is terrible. He's foolish who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So if all you have is treasure, all you're of all people, fools, most foolish. You want to have treasure toward God and not just treasure. When we have only treasure, we have erred from the faith. Erred from the faith. Last one, number five. These are things that can happen to faith. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 20, says, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, your faith. So avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. They've erred. The cause of the error is that false knowledge in grasping at unproven theories. Rather than living their life based on God's word, they go after everything else the world offers. And so that faith that they once held has now been cast aside. So Paul issues this warning in his next letter to Timothy also. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he says, the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Uh-oh. you will not endure sound doctrine? But after their own lusts, whose fault is it? After their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, or sound doctrine, and shall be turned aside to fables. So I put in those people turn to foolish sources for knowledge, like clairvoyants, palmists, mystics, spiritualists, astrological signs, witchcraft. Here's the warning. It goes back to the Old Testament. These things are written for our admonition, for our learning. Exodus 22, verse 18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Leviticus 19, verse 31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them, for I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20, verse 6, and the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits, and they go after the wizards, to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. That's the hazards of faith. You go after something other than sound doctrine. Leviticus 20, verse 27. A man also or a woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Isaiah 47, verse 9. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. He mentions the two things. Children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God gives you. In other words, going into the promised land. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or of a wizard, or of a necromancer. That's someone who conjures up the spirits of the dead to kind of influence the course of events. In verse 12, he continues, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations, which thou shalt possess, they hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God has not allowed you to do so. So one way of professing, or some professing have erred concerning the faith, is going after all of these things that the world offers to define their life. God says, don't do that. Sound doctrine. So we close. These five things we've mentioned. The hazards of faith. Things that really can happen to your faith. You can make your faith shipwreck by putting it away. You can depart from the faith. You may deny the faith by not taking care of family. You may err from the faith. You can err concerning. When Jesus was involved in his ministry and his disciples were round about him, he had given a very hard lesson. He'd given his disciples instruction. And they said that Jesus, they even said to him in the text, that's a hard saying. And so in John 6, verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back. Did disciples do that? Oh, yeah. Disciples went back. Or were they away? Walked no more with him. So then Jesus said, well, will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? And that's a great question. If you depart from the faith, to whom or to what will you go? What are you going to go to?
Now chew on that. Meditate. To whom will you go? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So don't give up faith. To whom will you go? To whom will you go? Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, then you're not a Christian. You haven't been born again. And by that we mean there's a process or steps to take to become a Christian. Number one, you need to hear the Word of God. How can you believe in something you've not heard? And the second, you need to believe it. Believe that gospel message, that good news message. And then after you, when you believe that message, you'll want to turn your life around. The Bible calls it repentance. In Luke 13, verse 3 and 5. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip was preaching unto him Jesus. The Ethiopian said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? He said, if you believe, you may. And the Ethiopian said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You'll want to make that confession. And so they stopped the chariot, and he was baptized immediately. And he came up out of the water rejoicing. Just believing wasn't an occasion of rejoicing. He needed to complete the process to be baptized for remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. So that's the invitation we extend. If you haven't submitted to that process or those steps, and if you heard, you believe, you're willing to do that, that's your resolve. Just, you need to let that be known by having a...